Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. Mosiah chapters 5 and 6 finish off King Benjamin's speech, and in fact, finish off King Benjamin himself. He's old, remember, this is a farewell speech. We should not be terribly distraught to hear that he dies in the end. But he's just finished up another section of his speech at the end of the last chapter. Now he's going to take a quick poll to see how his people are feeling. And it's not entirely clear to me how he does this, but they respond, and then he delivers on a promise he gave at the very, very beginning. When he very first sent his son Mosiah out to gather the people, he said he was going to do a couple of things. One of the things he was going to do was hand the kingdom off to Mosiah and tell everybody Mosiah is your king now. He's done that. The other thing he mentioned to Mosiah was that he was going to give the people a name. And this is interesting because, remember, the kingdom here is sort of an amalgamation of two different civilizations. The people of Zarahemla were hanging out. The people of Nephi, led by Benjamin's father Mosiah, came and found them, and then the two groups sort of merged. Mosiah the first became king of all of them. After he died, Benjamin took over and became king of all of them. He's now handing off the kingdom to Mosiah. But we have Nephites, and we have the people of Zarahemla, and they're all sort of mixed together. And I don't know if that's why King Benjamin wants to give them a name, but he's promised to give them a name. And it turns out, instead of being a political name, it's a religious one. I don't know if that was a surprise to the people or not, but it feels like a twist, so I thought I'd point it out. Anyway, let's hop right into chapter 5, verse 1. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had thus spoken to his people, he sent among them, desiring to know of his people if they believed the words which he had spoken unto them. And they all cried with one voice, saying, Yea, we believe all the words which thou hast spoken unto us. And also we know of their surety and truth because of the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent, which has wrought a mighty change in us, or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of His Spirit, have great views of that which is to come. And were it expedient, we could prophesy of all things. And it is the faith which we have had on the things which our King has spoken unto us that has brought us to this great knowledge, whereby we do rejoice with such exceedingly great joy. And we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God to do His will and to be obedient to His commandments in all things that He shall command us all the remainder of our days, that we may not bring upon ourselves a never-ending torment, as has been spoken by the angel, that we may not drink out of the cup of the wrath of God. So that's kind of a long chunk for the people to say in unison. I don't think they literally said all these words together at the same time. But anyway, this was the unanimous sense. Everybody's really bought into everything Benjamin has been preaching to them. Verse 6, And now these were the words which King Benjamin desired of them. And therefore he said unto them, Ye have spoken the words that I have desired. And the covenant which ye have made is a righteous covenant. And now, because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. For behold, this day he hath spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore ye are born of him, and have become his sons and his daughters. And under this head ye are made free, and there is no other head whereby ye can be made free. There is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore I would that ye should take upon you the name of Christ, all you that have entered into the covenant with God, that ye should be obedient unto the end of your lives. And it shall come to pass that whosoever doeth this shall be found at the right hand of God, for he shall know the name by which he is called, for he shall be called by the name of Christ. And now it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not take upon him the name of Christ must be called by some other name. Therefore he findeth himself on the left hand of God. And I would that ye should remember also, that this is the name that I said I should give unto you, that never should be blotted out, except it be through transgression. Therefore take heed that ye do not transgress, that the name be not blotted out of your hearts. I say unto you, I would that ye should remember to retain the name written always in your hearts, that ye are not found on the left hand of God, but that ye hear and know the voice by which ye shall be called, and also the name by which he shall call you. So this is the name he gave his people. It's the name of Christ. He says that because they are willing to covenant with God, that they will follow him and keep his commandments, Christ has spiritually begotten him. They are now spiritually sons and daughters of Christ, and Christ is the name by which they will be called in the last days, or in Judgment Day, or in some future point. But they have taken the name of Christ upon them. That's the name he's given them. Just to be clear, we continue calling them Nephites throughout the remainder of the Book of Mormon. So it is not the case that King Benjamin intended for this to replace that moniker, but it is an interesting thing anyway. Verse 13, "For how knoweth a man the master whom he has not served, and who is a stranger unto him, and is far from the thoughts and intents of his heart? And again, doth a man take an ass which belongs to his neighbor and keep him? I say unto you, nay, he will not even suffer that he shall feed among his flocks, but will drive him away and cast him out. I say unto you, that even so shall it be among you, if ye know not the name by which ye are called. Therefore I would that ye should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord Omnipotent may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that ye may have everlasting salvation and eternal life through the wisdom and power and justice and mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen." And that's the end of his speech, and that's the end of chapter 5, jumping right into chapter 6. And now, King Benjamin thought it was expedient, after having finished speaking to his people, that he should take the names of all those who had entered into a covenant with God to keep his commandments. And it came to pass that there was not one soul, except it were little children, but who had entered into the covenant and had taken upon them the name of Christ. So unanimously, all the grown-ups agree to follow Christ for the rest of their lives. The children who are too young to understand don't put their names down as having entered into this covenant, and they turn out to be troublemakers later. But that's at a future time. Verse 3, "And again it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of all these things, and had consecrated his son Mosiah to be a ruler and a king over his people, and had given him all the charges concerning the kingdom, and also had appointed priests to teach the people, that thereby they might hear and know the commandments of God, and to stir them up in remembrance of the oath which they had made, he dismissed the multitude, and they returned every one according to their families to their own houses. And Mosiah began to reign in his father's stead. And he began to reign in the 30th year of his age, making in the whole about 476 years from the time Lehi left Jerusalem. And King Benjamin lived 3 years, and he died. And it came to pass that King Mosiah did walk in the ways of the Lord, and did observe his judgments and his statutes, and did keep his commandments in all things whatsoever he commanded them. And King Mosiah did cause his people that they should till the earth, and he also himself did till the earth, that thereby he might not become burdensome to his people, that he might do according to that which his father had done in all things. And there was no contention among his people for the space of 3 years." And that's the end of chapter 6. In chapter 7, we're going to get into the really good story parts of the Book of Moses.